The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord.
Let us pray. Precious, loving Creator God, we are so grateful for the opportunity to gather and to give you praise. We are mindful, God, that so much is happening in our world around us. And we're so grateful that we can at least acknowledge your love and your care in the midst of it. We need a word from you, Lord, to speak into our situation and to speak into our various emotions. So God, I pray that you speak to me, speak for me, and speak through me, so that the words of my mouth are what your people, what we need to hear today. And Lord, may the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The bishops within the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, or the ELCA, Region 8, in the last week, offered us daily devotions that began on last Saturday, October 31st, in which each bishop led devotion. On Wednesday, November 4th, Bishop Michael Lozano of Northwest Pennsylvania offered a devotion around the theme, Yesterday You Woke Up. He offered a number of things that have changed since we woke up. For example, yesterday we woke up and we were healthy. Today we have received unpleasant news about our health. Yesterday we woke up and spoke to our loved one. Today, that loved one has transitioned to the heavenly church. Yesterday, we had a job. Today, we no longer do. When Bishop Lozano wrote this devotion, another aspect of our yesterday was, yesterday it was election day. Today is the day after. We as a nation have sat in the tension of yesterday it was election and waited for results. Today we wake up and the projected results are in. A candidate has been identified as the potential next president of the United States, and it is not the incumbent. Other candidates at the local, state, and national level has changed. Some have remained the same. Either way, a change is on the horizon. For some, this has meant feelings of relief their candidate was selected. Perhaps it's feelings that no longer will we wake up with tweets that pit our communities against each other. Perhaps it's diminished fear that their particular value system is no longer threatened. Perhaps it's feelings that it may be a return to paying attention to the science, the foreigner in our midst. For some, this means disappointment that our candidate was not selected. Perhaps it's feelings that our viewpoints are not being heard, that all we have worked for will come under attack and scrutiny. Emotions of anger, grief, pain, yes, even joy and hope, is swirling among our families, our churches, our communities, our states, our nation. Yesterday we woke up, and today things have changed. Building on Bishop Lozano's reflection of yesterday we woke up and today it is changed, I would like to add, now what? The months of divisive language and awakening to a nation that has been divided for centuries and how it cares for each other, as evidenced by racism, protests, police brutality, and police protection. Finding ourselves in the middle of a pandemic, COVID-19, that has changed the way we interact with each other, how we worship, how we work, feelings of disunity more than unity. Today, now what? Perhaps Jonah's narrative can provide us some insight. Jonah, as you know, is a story of a prophet who received a call, a command from God to act. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come before me. In other words, the behavior of the people in Nineveh was displeasing to God, and he was calling them on it. But Jonah did not heed God's words. Instead, Jonah went as far away from Nineveh as he could. Sometimes we hear this story referred to as running away from a call. And I must admit that Jonah as a prophet running away from a call has always resonated with me. After all, I felt that my reaction to God upon hearing his call was, "No, God, you couldn't possibly mean me as a pastor." But as we go deeper into the story, my understanding have changed. Yes, the story shows us Jonah trying to escape on a boat when God hurled a great wind upon the sea and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break up. Yes, the story tells us about sailors becoming afraid, drawing lots, and discovering that Jonah is the culprit for the storm and throwing him overboard. Even the notion of Jonah being swallowed by a large fish, and no, it's not a whale as some of us may have learned, staying in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, in which Jonah prayed to God, giving thanks for the many ways that God has cared for him, and eventually being vomited up. I don't know about you, but that sounds kind of gross in my imagination. We see that God commands Jonah a second time to get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. Jonah reluctantly follows through. And we know this because he only walks a third of the way into the city and says, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Eight words. Shortest sermon we've probably heard. Eight words. God, upon seeing the repentance of the people of Nineveh and how they had turned from their evil ways, changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and God did not do it. This is when we learn a part of the Jonah narrative that we don't often tell. At least I don't recall it from the Sunday school lessons of my childhood. The reason that Jonah did not want to do as God said is not to run away from a call, but because, and in chapter 4, which we did not read, so I will read for you, a portion of the verses says, and this is Jonah's response to God, "O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing." Jonah's issue was he had no desire to save the people of Nineveh. They were his enemies. And history tells us that Nineveh was an important Assyrian city. The Assyrians were known for their brutal treatment of those that they conquered. And so, yes, he had reason to fear and be concerned about the Ninevites. They were his enemies. They were the enemies of the Israelites, of the Hebrew people. And we know that Jonah identified himself as a Hebrew. He was not in good relationship with each other. They were not on the same side. Jonah did not want his God, a gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, to save the Ninevites. Instead, I suspect that Jonah would have been far happier with a vengeful God. But that is not what happened. God showed Jonah that he was a forgiving God, caring for all of his creation. Perhaps that can be a place for us to ponder today regarding we woke up, now what? We see that God's desire is to care for all of his creation. The narrative does not tell us that Jonah changed his mind. In fact, we're not quite sure what happens to Jonah. But in the story, we learn that Jonah's anger is real, just like our various emotions are real. Let me be clear. All of us are guilty of making decisions that we wanted based on how we understood the issues. Some of us prayed before making those decisions. Some of us read all the material we could find. We listened to debates and campaign rhetoric. Some voted because it's the way we've always voted, out of loyalty to a particular group. Some voted based on what was perceived as the best of the worst. And some did not even vote because the options were not desirable. Whatever, however, we voted, we are all experiencing some form of emotion. But before us today is, now what? God reminded Jonah that he was capable of caring for Jonah and capable of caring for the Ninevites. God is more than capable of caring for all of our needs if we can remember two things. Jonah prayed in the belly of the fish, and the Ninevites turned to God for forgiveness of their evil ways. All of our actions, those that have been unkind, that resulted in inequities, lack of justice, one for another, even our actions of loving each other, God is able to reconcile and bring healing. We are called to trust not in the news and social media, although we are to be wise and be discerning of what we hear, but our true provider, our true leader, rests in God. Our own bishop, Bishop Cusero, reminded us of, in his devotion, of two brothers who in discord, Jacob and Esau, you remember those two guys, brothers who fought from within the womb, divided nations. And in the book of Genesis, we hear their story, the various ways that Jacob worked with his mom to get over Esau. After several years of discord and being separated, an opportunity came from them to encounter each other. Jacob was worried about what that would look like. He knew the many ways that he had wronged or hurt his brother out of a focus on self. To his surprise, when the brothers came together, Esau hugged Jacob. He who had all reasons to be angry at Jacob responded in love. Jacob's response to his brother's expression of love was to say, "I truly see your face is like seeing the face of God." Jacob saw the image of God in his brother. We are at a place of disagreement. We're at a place of tension. And we're at a place of wondering what next. As Christians, we understand that we are called to love one another. It is not easy. It does not automatically remove from us the fears that we may have. And our command from God, when he said to love one another, was to love one another as we love ourselves. Which means God is just as concerned about our own needs and our own wants as he is the other. But God's desire is for us to remember to care for one another. As we navigate what is next, as the concerns that are raised, real, meaningful, hurtful concerns that need to be tackled in our tomorrow, may we remember, like Jonah, that our God is a gracious God, a merciful God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and ready to forgive us rather than punish us. May we show that same grace and mercy to one another. And may we see God's image in our brothers and sisters, learning to focus not only on our needs, but understanding that God's desire is for us to all be well. And God is capable of loving us and our differences as well as in our unity. Amen.